On this week's Question of Faith, what's a synod? Hey everybody, welcome to the Diocese of Cleveland. I'm Mike Hayes, I'm the Director of Young Adult Ministry here.
And I'm Father Damian Ferentz, Vicar for Evangelization.
And I am Lynette Sines, Assistant Secretary for Parish Life.
Welcome, Lynette. Good to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And this week we're going to talk on Question of Faith about what's a synod, huh?
Yeah, and the reason Lynette's here is because we are the co-directors of the Synod on Synodality here in the Diocese of Cleveland.
Your mothers must be so proud.
Always.
I think so, yeah.
So what is a synod? So, you know, well, first of all, you know, this comes from Pope Francis, right? So what's he asking everyone to do? And I mean everyone.
You want to start, Lynette, or you want me to start?
You go ahead and start, Father.
Okay, so we've been out in the parishes, and one of the distinctions that I make that I think is helpful is that oftentimes when we think of the Catholic Church, we think of the hierarchy of the church, that we have the Pope and the cardinals and bishops and priests, deacons, lay people, all that, right? And it is true that we are a hierarchical church, just like many institutions are, that there is, even down here at the diocese on different floors, there's structures, so you have chains of command and all that.
Sure.
But it's also true that the church is the body of Christ, many parts, one body, and that we work together. They're grassroots. And so on local levels that we need to walk together, work together, listen to each other, pray with one another. And in doing so, we are being church in that way. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's a hierarchical element to the church, but there's also this wonderful grassroots element of being church together. And so the Synod on Synodality is a reminder to us of what it means to be church in praying, listening, walking with each other on mission and community. So that's a lot of the ways how I start when I chat about the Synod.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we have people who make decisions in the hierarchy, but it doesn't mean they don't listen to everybody else. That's kind of the point here, right?
Correct.
Right. Yeah. And Lynette, you've been part of a similar process with this in the past, right, with the Encuentro process? Yeah.
Yes. We did a very similar process a few years ago with the Hispanic community in the National Encuentro, where we gathered together to listen to one another, learn about our realities, and figure out a way to move forward together.
Mm, yeah. And so this is a similar process. So how's it been going? You know, what's been going on with the Synod so far?
It's been fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But what's interesting is because people don't know what a synod is and the word is unfamiliar, and even in a sense the process is unfamiliar to some degree. It just hasn't been named. But if people enter into the process, what we have found is if you enter in prayerfully, whether you do the, you know, there's three options. We have the examine, the scripture, or the narrative. If you enter in prayerfully and listen and participate in the context of prayer, calling the Holy Spirit down, it's borne great fruit in our diocese.
Absolutely. And, you know, we really took a different approach in our listening sessions here in the diocese. You know, the diocese here in Cleveland has a history of synodality, of gathering people together, learning what they're thinking, and then developing plans for moving forward. But this isn't supposed to be a planning session. What Pope Francis is asking is for us to come together and have an encounter, a shared experience, and really listen to one another and pray together. And so that's what we're doing in our sessions. And so people are really surprised when they show up. It's so unexpected. They really get a chance to learn something new about people that they have probably known for years. And then from that, listening to the Holy Spirit speaking through the voices of everyone that is present, try to figure out, what does this mean for us and what should we do now together as church?
Yeah, Lynette's coming in today with Miguel Chavez, our other partner minister, to facilitate the process with our faculties of Borromeo Seminary, St. Mary's Seminary, and the staff at the Center for Pastoral Leadership. And a few weeks ago, Francine was in with our Borromeo guys, and most of them were really not looking forward to it because they didn't know what it was.
Right.
By the end of the session, these were two comments I heard. One, this was awesome. This is what it means to be church.
So the Borromeo guys are the seminarians.
Correct.
Just for those
yeah.
who might not be aware, and Francine Costantini, who's been on this podcast before, is the director of youth ministry here.
Right. So this is what it means to be church. And the second thing was, every parish needs to do this. And we're like, exactly. So the Pope's hope is that this isn't just something we do to get information and data and then hand it on to the USCCB and the Vatican, but it actually shows us how to be church so that we do this more often. This becomes the way that we gather, pray, listen, talk, and understand each other better and move forward as a pilgrim people.
Yeah, this is sort of a new standard operating procedure, if you might want to put it that way, you know, in business terms, right?
Right. And it's actually not new. This is this is ancient. And the Pope, I think, is reviving it. You know, like in Vatican II, we talked about the ressourcement. Let's go back to the sources. So this is one of the sources of being Catholic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked what you said before about the seminarians, that they came into that. Session. Francine and I were talking about this the other day. They came in and they said, "What do we got to be here?" You know, they thought. I think what they thought was that they were going to be talked to,
correct,
in some way, and that they would be sort of told what to say. You know, like, no. This is what we want to put together for this and everything else. And when they found out that they were just going to be listened to, they were like, "Oh." Okay. And then they didn't want to leave, right? Right. Didn't
right.
they get, didn't
yeah,
they get to the end of the session and say, why are you rushing us?
That's right. So when it was advertised as listening session, they thought they were going to be the ones listening to the rector or Francine talk to them, when it turned out that they were listening to each other and the Spirit move in their hearts and about their experiences, they loved it.
Absolutely.
As they should.
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't want to leave. They were like, Francine was like, okay, we got to kind of wrap this up now. They're like, wait a minute, don't rush us.
Yeah.
Come on. So, okay, look, I will stay as long as you want me to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been starting to get some reports back, and I tend to ask people, how did it go? And the responses have been overwhelmingly positive. You know, some of them are saying how they've had some profound experiences, how inspirational it has been. It's just been a wonderful opportunity. I think people, especially because it's been challenging the last couple of years, people have been socially distanced for such a long time. And here we're inviting people into conversation. And so it's helping people reconnect in a new way.
Yeah.
And it's working.
Yeah. In a physical way, like being present. And it is true that there are options if you're not able to come in person, but the Holy Father's wish is that we can come together in person, in the flesh, and be with one another in prayer and listening and chatting.
Yeah. And now we're not just doing this with parishes and people, because we're going outside the church in many ways too. I know I did a session with the local volunteer community and talked to them about, you know, what their experiences were. Yeah, they're connected at the church. You know, it's the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. We're not
right.
you know, keeping any secrets here, but they're not in a regular parish structure by any means.
Father Tim Garreau, the pastor of St. Raphael Parish in Bay Village, has done the process with many groups at his parish and just took it to his ministerial association. So one of the pastors there from one of the Protestant parishes liked the process so much, he's bringing it to his parish, and they're bringing it to the Jewish community, to Temple out in Bay Village. And so he left a voicemail with me last week and said, this is really going great, and we're learning about each other, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's fun. That's that's a lot of fun. So what have your roles in this been? The two of you are sort of in charge of this thing, so what do you have to do now?
Lynette's more the brains and more in charge. I'm more of the cheerleader and get out there. That's just the truth. We work well together, though.
We
We're a very good team.
Yes,
absolutely.
We complement each other's gifts, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I started off doing quite a bit of research, you know, figuring out what other places had done. We put together a fantastic team that we're working with to put this synod in place. And right now we're just waiting for reports to come in so that we can start to see what people have been talking about in their parishes and what they're recommending for us. And we're preparing for our diocesan gathering.
Yeah, that's exciting too.
That's right. It's going to happen this summer, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so it'll be a big, huge thing. And then that'll lead into the next year of the Eucharist, right, as well?
Yes, that's going to kick off our year of the Eucharist.
And we're co-directors of that too. So again, the complimentary gifts are wonderful. So yeah, the closing mass for the pre-synod gathering concludes with the opening of the Eucharistic revival. So it's going to be pretty cool.
So you're going to get... like, what, 400 reports or something to sort of sift through at some point?
Honestly, I have no idea. We had almost 200 people go through trainings.
Right.
Not people. We had more people.
Right.
That's about how many parishes and groups
went through
the training.
Facilitator training.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So we will get at least that many, at least 200 reports from different places.
So we should give you some coffee and things like that.
I've been telling people, don't look for me in the month of May. I'm just going to close my door and disappear for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally probably like a doctoral dissertation kind of research work that you're going to have to do now, right?
Exactly. Oh, but I'm so looking forward to it.
Oh,
I can't wait to hear what people have said.
And she has the experience of doing Encuentro.
Right.
Because I remember when I first went into her office and said, what are we going to do here? And she's like, Father, I've done this thing before or something like it. And it is. You're familiar with the process of gathering the information, putting it together in a document. So it'll be great.
Yeah. And so if I'm listening to this podcast and I haven't been part of a synod so far, what do I do? How do I have my voice shared amongst people? How would I get involved?
Well, I would say talk to your pastor. Go to your parish and see if they've set up any listening sessions. And if not, encourage them to set up some listening sessions. All of the materials are available on our website, dioceseofcleveland.org/synod. We also did put together an online participation process, which just opened up the 1st of February, and I've already received 75 responses.
Excellent.
I can't believe it. So that is going to be open through the end of March. That is when we're going to close all of the listening sessions. We want to have all the reports by that time, but if you keep going, keep on going, we will take all the information, because what's more important is that we listen.
Correct.
Okay, so if I want to join a synod, that's one way to do it. And then if I'm in a parish and I want to get a little more creative with this, I've done some listening sessions in my parish right now, and want to kind of get outside. You know, you're the guy in Bay Village that you were talking about before. He kind of went to some other folks. What are some other people that you might want to talk to? How can the church listen a little bit more?
Well, just last week, we did the Synod Sidewalk listening sessions during NBA All-Star Weekend.
That was fun.
Oh, yeah. It was a great time. The weather was interesting.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, we just walked up to people on the street and said, hey, you know, can we ask a couple of questions?
Correct.
They're like, sure. You know?
Yeah.
I was surprised how friendly people were. It was interesting, you know?
Yeah, interesting is true.
Yeah, and then you know, like Miguel and I also, we talked about, you know, well, what are some groups that are sort of tangentially created, you know, that have been tangentially created and that are have some relationship to the church, but maybe not the same relationship to a church the parish would. So we went to, I said this before, we went to the local Jesuit volunteer course with people doing a year service after college. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting. You know, one of the things we found out there was they said, you know, if we had gone home after college and just went back to, you know, our local communities, would we have done any of the things that we did this year? Hmm. Probably not. They're like, we're kind of glad that we're forced to have things like community night and forced to have things like spirituality night. And we've been praying together and we've developed new methods of prayer and we found new ways to serve to serve others and all those things. They're like, I don't know if we would have done any of that if we had just gone home. And I was like, huh, interesting. You know, you would think these are people who got into this because they were really intentionally into the whole justice, you know, into the whole social justice thing. Mm. Maybe not. You know, maybe not so much. Maybe they wouldn't have gotten involved in that at all if they hadn't intentionally done this program. So that was good to hear.
Yeah, especially during the time of this synod. I think the time is right. I think the Holy Father knows that the world is divided, the church is divided to some degrees in some places, and to get people together to sit, to pray and to listen. If the church doesn't invite people to do this, who will?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Know. Yeah. And so at the end of our process, what happens? Like we create a report that goes to who?
It'll go to the Conference of Catholic Bishops in the U.S., and they're going to be compiling a report at the national level, which will then move on to Rome.
Correct.
Right. So we give a local report here in Cleveland that goes to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They create a national report for the United States.
That's correct.
And then that goes to the Vatican. The Vatican will eventually create a worldwide report, correct?
At the Synod, then. So that's the actual – we're part of the pre-synodal
process. Pre-synodal process, yes.
Very good distinction.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say something else about that. Oh, so when we give that document – so the bishop will sign off on the final document. Document, give it to the USCCB. But that document also helps us understand ourselves. And in the guiding documents from the USCCB and the Vatican, they suggest that you make a video about your diocese, what you've learned about yourself, maybe even art, commission some art to be done. So there's a lot of creative options that we have moving forward.
That's cool. Yeah, and again, this is going to be the way things are. It's like we're hoping that, you know, this isn't the last time we listen to each other. You know, we continue to do that. And I think that's fun. I mean, as director of campus ministry at two different places, and that's how we kind of ran things, is we kind of said, okay, let's go and listen to the students. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's go listen to the faculty, hear what they have to say, especially when we were new, right? You know, when we were there for the first month or so. And so then that'll give us some direction on where we should go, you know, and you know, what's needed, you know, what are ways that we could respond to people's needs in some way. So, well, I'm glad this is, I don't think we could have picked two better people to run this here. So thanks for your hard work, you know, number one. And it's far from over, I know, number two. So prayers for the journey.
Thank you.
And, hey, here's one of the churches I know has been part of the Synod has been Our Lady of Peace in Shaker Heights.
Correct. Father Gary Chimura is the pastor there. He's also the pastor of St. Adalbert's, so he's been given co-responsibility there. But it's a beautiful old church. I think it was built in the early 20s.
I think that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I go to spiritual director. Father Gary is my spiritual director. So.
Oh, cool. America Magazine just did a spot on
it. That was great. Did you? So we'll put that in the show notes. That was really, really good.
Yeah, I actually have not watch it, but I've heard from two priests that I need to, and I haven't watched it yet, but I will. If you put it in the show notes, I'll watch.
Yeah, it was really good, because that was a parish that was closed at one point, and then the St. Adalbert's was a parish that was closed at one point and then reopened. And so this video that America produced was sort of about that process, about the community coming together.
Well, when we invited him in to do Nine Nights of Night Prayer, I think I wrote Our Lady of Peace Shaker, and he said, Our Lady of Peace Cleveland, make sure you put Cleveland. I said, all right, because it's right on the border there.
Oh, that's right, So it's good. And it's good community. I've been there a few times. People really like being with each other in that community. It's close-knit. And and Father Gary's great. Good preacher and really has a real gift of bringing people together, I think. I think that's what I would say is his real gift.
A few issues ago on the cover of Northeast Ohio Catholic, there were those nuns that are from Africa. Mm-hmm. And he's the one, I think, who's responsible for bringing them to the diocese.
Yes. Yeah, he does a lot of sponsoring of people, mostly Nigerians, nuns, if I remember right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's been a real trailblazer in that regard. I'm laughing a little bit because he said that when he started all this, he said he didn't really know what he was doing. He was just asked if he would do this, and then they said, sure, you know. And he said it kind of is like a runaway train now. More people are coming and coming, so it's great.
This may be a myth, but it also may be true. I heard at some church in Nigeria, they have his image in a stained glass window somewhere.
Because, is it real?
Yeah, there's some, or that's Father Carl and his good friend pulling his leg, but I don't think so. I think they have some kind of tribute to him in a church in Nigeria, I think. We'll have to do some research.
He's a huge Cleveland Indians fan from years past now, the Guardians, but he's a huge, huge fan and was friends with Bartolo Colon for a long time, and so that's how he kind of got involved with the Cleveland baseball team, now known as the Guardians.
Yeah.
And so that's Our Lady of Peace in Cleveland, on the border of Cleveland and Shaker Heights there. And our gospel for this coming week is from Luke chapter 9, 28 to 36. That's the Transfiguration. Tell us a little bit about the Transfiguration.
Well, a few years ago, I went with 10 brother priests to the Holy Land, and we went to Mount Tabor and were able to go up to where the Transfiguration took place. And the symbol up there, the most prominent symbol, is that of the peacock.
Ah.
So the peacock looks kind of like an ugly chicken when his tail feathers are down. You're like, well, that's a weird thing. And then all of a sudden, shows all his glory, just like Jesus showed his glory to Peter, James, and John, and then went back to the pre-transfigured state or non-transfigured state, but he revealed his glory to those three up there. And so I always think of the peacock when I think of the Transfiguration.
Yeah, a foretaste of what will happen to us in the resurrection, right?
Yes.
And my favorite line in all of Scripture is there. You know, it's Peter decides that let's build three booths, you know, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Lord. And then it says, but he did not know what he was saying.
Yes.
How many times do I not know what I am saying? And yet, I'm doing a podcast with you guys.
Yeah.
So, always
Jesus
good.
Appears in his glory. What are you going to do? Let's build some tents, you know.
Exactly. Yep. All right. So this has been Question of Faith, the Synod, our topic this week. So thanks for joining us, Lynette, and thanks joining us, Father Damien, and thanks for all of your hard work.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we'll be back with more next week on Question of Faith.